Blog Talk Radio.
Sheila McCain. Here we are, and welcome everyone to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as P&T. Hi, Tasila, how are you today?
Hello, hello, hello. I am blessed, and I can't wait to see what's going to all happen on this show today.
I know. You never know how the Lord is going to move and how he's going to touch somebody, you know.
Right, but I want to invite you all, our friends and family from all over the world and the people that are listening in other countries and in the United States. God bless you for tuning in. Thank you guys for all your questions, and I pray that we are answering you all accordingly. And you're getting a revelation from some of the things and the people that we're having on the show. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's what we that's why we're here, because we want people to be blessed by the show, and we also want you to tell somebody about the show so that they can dial in and be blessed as well. I would like for all of you to pick up your phones, grab your computers, go to your inbox or text your families and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. Once again, 646-668-8537, or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila on Facebook to listen from your computer tonight and all this week. Just click wherever you see the post of this particular show on Facebook, you can just click on the picture and listen to the entire program, okay? And just in case you missed it, or maybe some of your friends may have missed it and wanted to listen in, you can just tell them to do that. All righty? And you can also see T. Meyer and Tasila on Facebook, YouTube, and many other social media platforms. Just look for The Message of Life on hsbn.tv. Yes, you can see our mugs, our faces on HSBN.TV or on YouTube and many other platforms. And you can also listen to the Message of Life on iHeartRadio. And like I said, many others. So tune in to the Message of Life. You will be blessed. You will be happy that you did this. And we will be happy that you did it. Also, if you're looking for a place to worship, come and worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. I'm going to repeat that. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. And come on and join us. You will have a great time. You will be blessed. You will wax strong in the spirit, and you'll be around some very beautiful, loving people. And most importantly, you'll be around the Holy Spirit. So come and join us. You'll be blessed. In the meantime, I'm going to play a song that's written by you, Pastor Tasila. You know, if we had more time, I would like for you to tell me how this song came about. It's called Healing Fire. And you wrote this song for Searchlight. And it was just something. I remember when you were writing it. And but I don't know what happened before you started writing, how the Lord was dealing with you concerning this particular song. So
every part.
I'm going to go. Every part.
Even in my sleep.
Every part. Oh, is that
every
right?
Part.
Well,
yeah.
Well, for those of you who haven't heard it, some of you have. Yeah, but for some of you who haven't heard it, here's Healing Fire by Searchlight, written by McKay.
Your sins have been cleansed, so I can dwell within. I have prepared a place for you to give you strength in these times and my peace of mind. Come to feel the wine of wine. Let me give you faith. Thank you.
indeed. That healing fire. Praise the Lord. You're listening to Christian Talk Radio, and it's TNT time on Christian Talk. And you know, we just love. Wait a minute. What's going on? Do you hear that? Something's happening here. What is that? Yep, it's that time. We're going to have a TNT moment during our TNT time. A TNT moment. So, Pastor Tosila, what are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about what is the kingdom of God likened to, you know, when what Scripture has to say about it. And I just want to say, because we've been walking for a long time in the presence of the Lord, and the kingdom of God is like a journey that we are all on, and it's what we call a pathway. It's straight and it's narrow. And Jesus talked about it often. He said in Matthew 7:3-4, "Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I remember when we were young in the Lord, we used to sing a song called "I Found It." You remember that song?
Right.
Yeah. And you might say, "You found what?" The pearl of great price and eternal life. That's what the song was about, how we found the pearl of great price and eternal life. And we knew the scripture that says that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, listen carefully, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Nothing mattered in life or was more important than the value of that pearl. And Jesus used a lot of parables to speak to those things that are truly his. Like in Luke 8:9, he says to you, "It has been given to you the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Every person that reads the book doesn't have automatic understanding of what the word is saying. It is given by the Spirit of God, and that's why we have so many different Bibles and interpretations and sects of churches, and many people see the Bible in the way that they want their flesh to receive it. But for the true believer, Jesus spoke in parables because he knew that the Holy Spirit would give them the understanding. Jesus said, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, others seeing, they see not." That just goes to what I saw this week. I saw an article, and I mean, it was long as your arm. It was a lot said. And they were trying to really prove that homosexuality was supposed to not be in the Bible. It shouldn't have been that word, should not have been in the Bible. And I just think that's because you have no understanding. God doesn't make mistakes. He knows what he's talking about. And even if, and they were talking about 2 Corinthians 6. Well, even if it wasn't 2 Corinthians 6, God spoke of it in Leviticus before the New Testament about man that sleeps with men would be stoned, and many other things that we could go through that God spoke about. So there is no mistakes when the Lord is speaking. And because he knew when he was talking to us that those that really belong to him, they would, the Holy Spirit would give them understanding. And they know the truth. They know what God loves and what he hates. That's so funny. But people don't understand when it even goes over some of the things the Lord loves and the things that he doesn't like. Even in the New Testament, he says, and king, you can name any king or person that was in leadership. And he said, and he did what was right before the Lord, or he did what was evil before the Lord. And then you see the fate of that person. So that's how we get to know God's personality, what he likes, what he loves, and what he dislikes. And throughout the Bible, he shows us what he does, what he doesn't like. But it says, Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that saith, by hearing you shall and not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive what this people's heart is, because of the people's heart is wax gross. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hear ye therefore the parables of the sower. When anyone hear the word of the Lord, and not the kingdom of God, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed in a stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and ain't it with joy receive it, yet has he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulations or persecutions arises because of the word, he is offended. Now, a lot of people take off when people don't agree with them, and they just don't want to bring that up. They don't want to tell their dreams anymore. They don't want to tell the visions that God and the word, God can speak something openly to them. And if people don't agree with them and begin to persecute them and say, the Lord didn't speak to you, the Lord didn't tell you that, they get so offended that they take off. And then he goes on to say, he also received a seed among the thorns. It's he that heard the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And, I mean, this is like regular Christianity now. You know, it's so much emphasis on things more than the word and the Lord. But he that receiveth seed into good ground, if he that heareth the word, understand it, which also beareth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He said again, the kingdom of heaven, what is it like? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, that is the sea of humanity, and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. After speaking to them, Jesus asked them, do you understand all these things? And they said, yea, Lord. Then he said unto them, every scribe that is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which brings out of his treasures things new and old. All these things are spoken in different parables, but they all loop together in like throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is always giving us new revelation along with the old things that God has already said in us. Like I said, we are on a journey, just like the children of Israel was on a journey. Their hope was the promised land. They also saw the miraculous hand of the Lord on their behalf immediately with the fall of the Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, and they moved with the cloud by day and fire by night. They endured many trials and tribulations and sicknesses and diseases, just like we are doing right now. We're enduring and getting past by the hand of God. We're going through a lot of trials. And actually, if you could see in the Spirit, you will see the Holy Spirit, which is a cloud over people. And you will see the fire of the Holy Spirit by night. And it says they endured many trials. And you out there, you guys are enduring also. I know we get calls and letters and talks and from people. A lot of people are going through a lot of things. And it's called tribulation. And there's a lot of and a lot of diseases out here. We heard of a new disease that someone had today, but it was similar to monkeypox, so it's not that new. But these diseases are everywhere. Yet the Lord filled them, even though they were going through all those things. He filled them to the brim with his presence. And he also gave them manna, which is called angel's food. And he filled them to the full. And he laid out so much, even fowl, that the meat that just caused it to fall right there in front of their tent. And water he brought forth from a rock. Still, the Lord had a problem with them. And it was because of their unbelieving heart. And many of them did not make it in. Because after all the things, I'll tell you something. If there's one thing that you can do, here's something. Once the Lord does something good for you, and you're in the straight, and you cried out to him, and he answered, write it down. Never forget it. Always go back to it. And say, Lord, if you did that, then you could do this. Keep that in mind. Don't forget not his benefits. Forget not the things that the Lord is doing for us. Don't just take it for granted and go to the next thing. Oh, and then forget about it, because you'll lose faith like that. And God wants you to be strong in your faith. And that's where the children of Israel really made a mistake, and they weren't able to enter into his rest or his peace or to the promised land, because after all the things God did for them, they still didn't believe that he was God and that he could do something like bring some more water or bring, you know, some more something for them to eat, which we're always in need. And so we should stay in a state of faith towards him. Like I said, now we are on a journey also. The children of Israel was on a journey, and now we are on a journey. But our journey and our destination is the kingdom of God, and our reward is Jesus. Did you hear what I said? Jesus is the prize. A lot of people are like, what are we going to do in heaven? What are we going to tell you? Jesus, it is the prize. That's the biggest prize that you can ever receive. But this time, we have instructions. You know, those people were out there, and they just left quickly. And then one day, they got out of there, and they didn't know. They just left because they were under hardship. And now, we know all of that. We're more astute about all these things. God has written it, he said, for our sake, for the end time. That's what it's for. And Jesus was explaining to us that the kingdom of God is not only a place we are aspiring, all of us aspiring to go to, but the kingdom of God is within us. That's right. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and soweth in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The kingdom of heaven is like unto, the Lord says, leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. In the spiritual application of this principle, the Christian is the seed containing the germ of life. However, the divine cell, the incorruptible divine seed, remains within the Christian, inactive, although having a limitless, just like an acorn has a limitless potential, but cannot realize the potential until the activation takes place. The seed or the cell of divinity within every Christian must be germinated. Even as the natural seed, like the acorn, must experience germinating processes in order to become a tree, just so in the new birth, a Christian may rise above the fallen nature into the land of the living by means of resurrection power of God. You know, it's so funny how one moment Elijah was walking and talking with Elisha, and the next moment, something happened. I bet it was resurrection power. He was gone. He was changed. He was in the presence of God. He was in a chariot. And it may seem like nothing is going on with Christians. And at one moment, Enoch was walking, and the next moment, Enoch was in the presence of God because God took him. A change occurred. Something happened. But even when you don't see it, He is still working. You are constantly being transformed like the dough with the leaven in it. Luke 17:20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom, they asked him, Jesus, when the kingdom of God shall come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said it, so I believe it. This mortal must put on immortality, and our perishing bodies must have to become imperishable. Dying bodies must be transformed into the bodies that will never die. The word says our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortality or immortal bodies. So what are you saying, Sister Tecila? I am saying that if some of us are still alive when Christ returns, the transformation from the old body to the glorified body will be instant. And the bride, you are the bride. You are hopefully making yourself ready right now. And I pray that you stay ready, awaiting your change. Hallelujah, in Jesus' holy name. That's what I'm saying. We are still alive, all of us, when Christ returns. Those instances that God did with Enoch and he did with Elijah is to show us that we are going to be transformed also. And if we are here when he returns, it's going to happen instantly. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Would you like to know a love so perfect? Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love. Would you like to know his love is perfect? Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
That love's so perfect,
'cause he knows what I feel inside.
He touches places
I try so hard to hide.
Those broken spaces
that once made up my life.
Love left the darkness
with his overwhelming light. Perfect love, perfect love. perfect love, perfect love, perfect love. God is, He is perfect love. Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
Would you like to know His love is perfect?
Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
His love is so perfect,
'cause He gave and restored my life. He won my battle and my fight.
Those falling moments
when I thought I would not survive.
His love protects me,
failing at no time.
Perfect love.
Christian talk. Now, the question was asked, what is the kingdom of God like? Well, we have scripture that tells us a lot about the kingdom. And then we have experiences of others who have actually visited heaven. They were actually caught up into heaven, you know, like Paul and some of the people of today who have had experiences in heaven. And even we ourselves who have experienced healings, if you've experienced healings and had experienced having demons cast out of you, the kingdom of God is near you. It means that the kingdom of God has come to us or near us. But see, here's the thing. The kingdom of God comes in different situations, but it doesn't remain. Our goal, our desire, is for the kingdom of God to remain. And it'll continue to come in certain areas until the kingdom of God is fully established on this earth completely and totally, forever. That's our goal, for the kingdom of God to come and remain forever. Right now, we experience a little bit here, a little bit there. It's the earnest of our inheritance of the Holy Spirit. If you, by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name and under the authority of Jesus Christ our Lord, have ever had a demon cast out of you, or you've seen a demon cast out of somebody, then the kingdom of God was near you. As Jesus said himself in Luke 11, verse 20, he said, "But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." If you have ever experienced righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, then you have experienced a taste of God's kingdom. Romans 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." When we get to the place that we are living, walking, breathing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and have his peace that passeth all understanding, and have his inner joy that can never be taken away from us, and you have all of this continually and consistently in your life, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Even now, we are able to bring the kingdom of God to many situations on earth. When Jesus anoints us and sends us out to preach the gospel, we are backed by heaven. We're backed by heaven. Heaven is our backing. Matthew 18, 18 from the Passion Translation. "Receive this truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered to be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you release on earth will be considered to be released in heaven." When we go out to preach, we are to demonstrate the kingdom. Mark 16, verse 15. I'm talking about when we're anointed, and we do have the earnest of our inheritance right now, so we can still demonstrate, maybe even now to a small degree, we can still do it, demonstrate the kingdom. But remember, the greater anointing is coming. And that greater anointing is the anointing that's going to change everything. Mark 16, verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We show the people the kingdom of God when we preach the gospel. Matthew 24, 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then, and then shall the end come." Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached." This is the gospel that Jesus preached, followed by signs and wonders. When we preach the real, true gospel, then shall the end of this system come, and the kingdom of God shall be established. Our next step is to be changed. After we're doing all of that, our next step is to be changed. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We cannot fully enter into God's kingdom until we look like Jesus Christ, the way he looks right now in his glorified state. Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." We have to be changed, conformed into his image, his glorified image. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about everything and everyone being changed. Revelation 21, verse 5. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Everything is new, even the heavens and the earth. All things are new. Revelation 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." When God's kingdom comes, all things will be beautiful, new, refreshed. revived, changed the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the universe. Everything will be brand new, perfect. God's government will be established on the earth, and God himself will live in us and with us. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God's government on earth will be his holy mountain, his last day church, and there will be no harm, no hurt or harm to all who come and enter in and dwell in his kingdom. Isaiah 11, verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the kingdom of God is fully established on this earth, everything negative, everything dangerous, ungodly, unholy, evil, and ugly will not exist. There will be no more sickness and disease, no more sorrow, no more murders, violence, hatred, lies, deceits, jealousies, envy, strife, and no more sadness, no more hunger, no more thirst. No one will break any of God's laws or his commandments, because in God's kingdom, nothing negative can exist. Revelation 21, verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The kingdom of God is a whole new world, a whole new existence. It is a whole new state of being. It is a literal, spiritual, yet physical and mental state of being. It is a personal change, individually and collectively, that causes us to seriously live forever. Can you imagine that? Living forever, never dying, but you're in a perfect state, living forever in a perfect state. When God's kingdom comes, it will start a whole new life. Jesus Christ, the last Adam, will create the new creation man, people who will be fully in the likeness and image of the glorified Jesus Christ, which is the likeness and image of God himself. God wants to see himself in us again, just like in the beginning. When the Lord looked at Adam before he fell, he saw a reflection of himself. He wants to see himself. Actually, he wants to see Christ Jesus in us upon this earth. He will not be satisfied until he see Christ in us of a surety. But before that happens, God has to gather together a remnant of people. He has to gather together a people that will open their hearts and their minds and their spirits and their souls to the word of God, to hear, to receive of him. He's opening up. He wants a people that's going to be willing to follow him no matter where he goes. He wants a people that he can give the revelation of who he is. He wants to build his church. So he has people. He's gathering people together that will be open to the Lord, open to God, so that God can reveal the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, just like when the Lord asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say that you're this person, that person, this prophet, and so on. And he said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? And Peter jumped up and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that made Jesus very happy. It made him so happy because he knew that nobody gave him that revelation except God himself. You see, here's the situation. These men, these 12 men were following Jesus everywhere he went. They saw him do miracles, signs, and wonders. But yet when they looked at him, he was a normal man. He looked like a regular, normal man. So a lot of them were confused. A lot of them thought, well, maybe he's just a prophet like Moses, or just, he's like one of the prophets. He was just a man of God. But they still didn't know the deep revelation. The Lord had to uncover or had to reveal to Peter, he revealed to Peter that Jesus Christ was the heir of God, the Son of God, son meaning heir, the heir of God, which means that he was going to inherit the earth. He was the heir of God. And the revelation was given to Peter, but it was still even more so. It was even deeper than that. You see, they eventually began to know after his resurrection, they began to realize that this was Emmanuel. This was God actually with us. Yes, he's the Son of God, the heir of God, because, he's going to inherit the heaven and the earth, but this was God himself actually walking with us. And he tried to let Philip know that. When Philip asked, "Show us the Father and we'll be okay. We'll be satisfied." And the Lord said, "Have I been so long with you, Philip, and you still don't know me?" He was letting them know. He was throwing out hints here and there that I'm Emmanuel. I'm God in your midst. I'm God manifested in the flesh. He even told them at another point, he said, "God is spirit. God is spirit." Now, the King James Version says God is a spirit. He's more than like a spirit. That puts him common. God is spirit, and he wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. But every spirit wants a body, and Jesus Christ is the body of God. That's why some of you have heard me say, if you ever want to hug Jesus, or if you want to hug God, if you want to kiss God, you want to walk with him and hold his hand, put your arms around him, you'll be walking and talking and kissing Jesus every time, because Jesus is his body. God had to become a man. He had to become a man so that he could dwell among us, so that he could be approachable. He could be touched. So he had to become one of us so that we could become glorified with him, so that we are able to touch him. See, Jesus Christ is the kingdom. The king always dwell in his kingdom. And if his kingdom is in you, then that means Christ is in you, because he is the king. Oh, praise the Lord with the plan that God made just so he could be close to his people, sacrificing his own life so that he could become one with us. This is a big deal. It was a big deal from the beginning, what God's plan was, his plan of the ages. It was a big deal in the beginning, and it's a big deal now. God wants to be one with his people, one with his creation. We can't wait. We can't wait for the Lord to come and change these vile bodies. Give us kingdom bodies. Give us a true new birth, a true new birth, really being born again, not just saying we're born again, but really, seriously being fully born again, body, soul, mind, and spirit, the whole man being born again. That's when you're walking around in a celestial body that has no limitations. That's when you can go through walls. You can fly. You can be anywhere at the speed of thought. This is when you have entered into the kingdom realm. That's the kingdom realm. That's what the kingdom is like. When all things obey you, nature obey you. Right now, nature is rebelling against mankind because mankind, we're not in the kingdom yet. But once we are in the kingdom, nature, animals, plants, everything obey you. Your word is law because the word of God is in you. That's what the kingdom is like. Praise the Lord. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before you.
every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Yeshua HaMashiach is Yahweh. Pastor Tasila, it's so much to talk about when it comes to the kingdom of God. We could probably go on with this.
How vast he is.
Say that
Jesus
again.
I said about how vast Jesus is and how he can morph into like a lion and a lamb. And and sometimes it's coming, the Lord is pulling the veil off so people can see. But in Isaiah, it really does pull the veil off. I'm going to leave you guys with this. When it says in Isaiah chapter 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, and a Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So how could Jesus be a baby and be just the same way he's going to be a lion and a lamb? How could Jesus be a child and then come back and he is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? Because we think in mono and he doesn't. He thinks plural. God is everything and all and everything. And it's so funny how vast he is, and he's just starting to unveil himself to us little by little and piece by piece. This Jesus wasn't just an ordinary person. He was the body of God. Only a God could die for your sins, people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Only a true God. But we thank you guys for listening,
right.
And we thank you for the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That's what we love, the unveiling of who Jesus is. That's all that matters. That's the prize. That's what we're going to be getting to and winning. We're going to win the fullness of Christ. We love you all tuning in. And I pray that you'll be back next week, because I'm sure the Holy Spirit is going to give us something wonderful. God bless you
all. Amen. God bless you all. Goodbye.